Hello, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is Hal, your occupational therapist, and welcome to OT Conversations. In this episode, I would like us to have a discussion about the wonderful tilt table. Ta-da-da! There we go. Tilt table, guys. It's been around for a long time. It's one of the early rehab furniture out there. And go back in the 60s, probably 50s, 60s, 70s, it's already been there. There's so much benefits to it. It allows a person to be in an upright position, and it gives the leg some weight-bearing stimuli and stimulus. And when somebody's doing that, there's so much benefits to the bones and to the muscles as well. So the question is, why is it that it does not appear to be in good use nowadays? How come therapists are not using tilt tables anymore? I remember most recently, but having said that, it'll still be about maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I was working in a rehab facility, and the one that owned the tilt table was a physio or phys department. And I thought, why? Why is there no tilt table for occupational therapists to use? Is it because we have focused on discharge planning now and we have stopped doing the physical rehabilitation? Yeah. Going back to that story of that tilt table that was used in a rehab facility, one time I saw the tilt table in the dump area, and I can't believe it. It was still in good order. It was working. And their reason why it was dumped is because nobody's been using it anyway. I thought that was a waste. If I could have taken it home with me, I would have. If I have my own department, I would have taken that. If I have my own space, we would have taken that. So tilt table, there's so much benefits to it, right? Yes, even in critical care, you can do that. You can just pat slide somebody onto it and just give them that opportunity to be in an upright posture. Now, how do you secure a person? Okay, it's very easy. Those tilt tables have areas where you can fasten somebody, or not fasten, you can secure somebody. There are some belts that's available, and there are key points where you can put in those belts, okay? There are a few things that the person needs to have a control first before they go in an upright posture. What are these? The head control, so that's one. Trunk control, the second one, that's the next one to improve that you need to prioritize. And then the pelvic control. So the pelvic control is, once you have trunk, head, trunk, and pelvic control, then you can start with your postural control retraining or dynamic postural control retraining. So if somebody does not have all of these, for example, they don't have the control or the postural control to maintain an upright posture, and you want them to tolerate that movement, make sure that the feet are flat on the foot plate. And that's easy enough because the patient do slide down anyway as you tilt them over, right? As long as they are straight, they're not going to tip over to one side. So make sure that the body is aligned. That's easy enough to do. Okay. Now, very seldom that I have used, although I have as well for spinal cord injury patients, you can secure the head or onto the forehead. So there is that. There is a strap that goes around it. And then onto the armpit, onto the chest. So from the armpit. So that's probably on the, what level is the armpit level? Was it above? It's around T2. The wider it is, the belt, the wider the belt, the more secure it would be. So the thinner it is, the less support you are providing. And obviously, you won't, most of the belts on the tilt tables are always wide anyway. So you can put the support on the head, on the forehead, okay? And you can, again, very seldom you would use that because most of the time people do have it. But just in case, onto the head, onto the chest and thorax, torso region, okay? The belly is something that can be secured as well. You can secure one on the pelvic region as well. So that's fine on the pelvic region. So if you have poor trunk control, that's where you would want the support on the thorax, pelvic region, the thigh. Those are the ones where you would want to have that. Now, as soon, and then you just get rid of all of any, it's like in a sequential manner, really. You just get rid of those supports. So if the person has trunk control already, so take off that trunk support. But then you won't be able to lean forward. So you need to clear up that pelvic region so that the support would be on the thigh region. And it's almost start the tilt table on a 15 degrees and then monitor the heart rate. Monitor the demands of being upright in the demands on the heart. And then put it on a 30 degrees. Count the time. Measure the heart rate. And yeah, there you go. Check the blood pressure and things like that. And as they go, tilt table, go on to the 60 degrees, that was fine. And there you go. The lowest that I would find where there is a good tilt table would be thigh and knee region. That's the one that secures the person in an upright posture. And I find that is building up the tolerance first, right? In the field and in the area of rehabilitation and physical rehab, you build up the tolerance first before you build up the strength. Okay, so how do you do that? Sustaining the movement, sustaining that co-contraction of the legs around the joints. And what is the best way to do that? One way to do that is just by standing up or by being in an upright posture. I think we're doing a shortcut on the process of getting a person to a tilt table. So most of us, and based on my observation, would rather have three people working with a patient rather than having one or two people working with a patient on a tilt table, because it's so inefficient to have these three people do a sit to stand, and you can only do it once or twice. Whereas if you have a tilt table and you're using the tilt table, a patient can tolerate a session for more than just a few sit to stands. I'm telling you. They'll build up their tolerance for 15, 20, 30 minutes, and that will be a prolonged session. And once the person is more in an upright posture, there is an impact on their cognition and their alertness. Okay? There is an impact on their overall well-being. There's so much benefits to it, guys. And the thing is, people are just not using it anymore, and it is quite sad. And even if I say this at work, it feels like I'm just the old guy who's talking about the good old days and none of the young clinicians are listening to it. So that's why now here is a platform, Riot, involving occupational therapy and relevant information involving occupational therapy. It's a platform that at least I can share that. So this is a call for people. In the States, I've just recently read this, and if you go for the OT's position statement in critical care across the lifespan, they even have this term for getting a person upright in critical care. And you know what it is? They call it verticalization. Yeah, the OTs in the States have used this term. That approach is called a verticalization, and you get a person in an upright posture using mechanical support, and the mechanical support is actually a tilt table, right? So if you have mechanical support for the heart, which is ventricular assistive devices, you have mechanical support for the lungs and the breathing, and that would have been the ventilators. You have a mechanical support for oxygenation of the body through the blood and direct use of it, which is through ECMO. And what would be a mechanical support for standing? Yeah, tilt table is one of them. So that would be the first sequence for therapy, tilt table. The next thing that you can do to make it easier for you guys is do a standing hoist. Okay, so when you have a standing hoist, then it gives that opportunity for that person as well. But sometimes If a person is elderly and there's so many aching joints, the standing hoist is a bit more forceful on the joint. So it's more stressful on the joint. It's good, but sometimes people are just hanging on their arms or hanging on those slings as well. So the body is not at the ultimate upright posture where you just give the body an opportunity to feel the gravity. So there are some challenges on the use of the standing hoist. But regardless, it's still beneficial. If a person is able to stand, then there are these devices out there, like a turn device, like a Sarah Steady, for example. I use that all the time if I'm given the chance to work with a patient, because it gives a person to stand up and there's something to perch on. I know it's a useful tool for functional mobility and transfers, but that opportunity to be in an upright posture is also something that is beneficial to the patient. So you're using it as a rehab device. Because again, like I said, anything you do matters and has an outcome. It will have a benefit. But I digress. I don't want to talk about the Sarah Steady just now. The focus and the hero of this session is the wonderful tilt table. So there you go, guys. If you have the chance and you get the chance to work with it, try it. It's a very safe thing, safe device to use. What would be a difficult thing in there? What would be unsafe? It would be unsafe if there's something wrong with the mechanism and then the wirings, because you got to plug it in. So midway you stop it. So some tilt tables does not have the mechanism to manually recline them back because they're electronic, but others they do as well. So have a look at that. The other thing in here is if the person is not straight, then there is a tendency they would lean on the one side. So positioning is the key. If the belts are loose and it's not snug, then that will get the knees buckling. But then again, you can even adjust it midway. Yeah, there we go. Tilt table is something that you guys can use, and I hope we can start using this again, because in critical care, that would be the key. You just need to pat slide somebody from the bed all the way to a tilt table and then verticalize them, right? I hope you learned a lot or a little something from this episode, guys. Just remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, talk to your friends and colleagues about it. Like it, subscribe, share, and do what you can to appease whatever algorithm that is at play. Just remember, guys, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.